are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brian Peacock, here with you on this Thursday edition of the show. We are going to be breaking down wide receivers today. And there was not quite as much turnover at the wide receiver position going into 2018 as there was coming into 2017 when they overhauled the entire receiving corps. But there is some new faces to talk about and some old faces that might have new roles or be able to play a bigger part in 2018 than they did in 2017. The supplemental draft also went down on Wednesday. The 49ers were not involved. We'll talk about who did get selected in the supplemental draft, which is usually not a very big affair. Not many players. A lot of times nobody gets drafted. A couple guys did get taken, though, in 2018 in the supplemental draft. That is what's on tap for today's show. I would like to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Google Podcasts, whatever it's called now. You can find all kinds of content going up at LockedOn49ers.com. Our newest writer, John Chick, has got some new articles going up there. He looked at the 2017 draft class and graded those guys going into their second seasons. He also had an article on Jimmy Ward. We've got some other stuff coming out with him and Chris Wilson. Chris Wilson continues to look at the position-specific groups heading into training camp, which is what I'm doing here as well on the podcast. So I'm going to be referencing a lot of stuff he put in his article at LockedOn49ers.com about the wide receivers. So go check that out if you want to get a little bit more information on position groups as we head into 2018. Camp is less than 2 weeks away. It's really getting close now. And if you have any mailbag questions or just want to say hi or just want to know what I'm tweeting about, follow me at BDPeacock or you can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, an Instagram page that is seldomly updated. I got to get on top of that one. All right, let's get to it. I guess we can start with the supplemental draft, get that out of the way first. And two players were selected this year in the supplemental draft in the third round, which is very high for a supplemental draft pick. I think the highest pick I can remember, there's been higher ones, but Josh Gordon in 2012 was a second round pick. And, you know, obviously he had a crazy amount of talent and ran into some problems, which is usually the case with supplemental people who get into the supplemental draft. They are ineligible to play in the fall and they decide they got to, you know, take off and head to the NFL rather than stay in college and possibly be suspended for the year. So, or guys that got completely kicked off the team. But one of the selections in the third round was Sam Beal. He is a skinny, fast cornerback from Western Michigan. And he was taken by the New York Giants in round three, so they will lose their third-round pick in the 2019 draft as a result. And the Washington Redskins selected Adonis Alexander out of Virginia Tech, so they stayed local there. They spent a sixth-round selection on Adonis Alexander, who was a freshman All-American and then ran into some problems at school, was going to be ineligible, had some pot-related stuff going on, and then didn't have very good workouts either ahead of his supplemental draft. So ran 4.6s as a corner. Not great. He's got good size, though, 6'2", 200 pounds. And so now he is headed to Washington. The one player I thought the 49ers might look at late, you know, in the seventh round or something, Brandon Bryant. He is a safety. He's got that range and that speed to play single high safety out of Mississippi State. He was not selected. It looks like I think he's going to get signed post-draft now as an undrafted free agent to the New York Jets. So the 49ers bowed out of the supplemental draft entirely, it looks like. All right, let's move on to wide receivers. So for the second year in a row, the 49ers are not going to have their leading receiver, in receptions at least, back with the team, back on the roster at all. If you remember the 2016 season with Chip Kelly, the leading receiver that year was Jeremy Curley, who was signed even late in camp before the season started. He ended up leading the 49ers in receptions that year, and then Chip Kelly obviously fired, and then the new regime brought in with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And last year's leading receiver, I think most people know that yardage-wise, it was Marquise Goodwin, who had just shy of 1,000 yards, 962 yards on 56 receptions. But it was actually Carlos Hyde that led the 49ers last year in receptions with 59. And really a stark difference between what the two of those receivers did once they caught the ball or their depth of target, because Marquise Goodwin's got that speed. He's a downfield guy. He averaged 17.2 yards per reception, and he turned 56 catches into 962 yards. Carlos Hyde, on the other hand, with his 59 receptions, turned that into a whopping 350 yards at a very low 5.9 yards per reception. So I think that's the number one thing that Kyle Shanahan sees, and the number one thing we're going to see as 49ers fans watching the 49ers play in 2018 is Jerick McKinnon turning those dump-off passes or able to run more routes and do more things down the field. There was that one a beautiful touchdown pass that Jimmy Garoppolo laid out down the middle of the field to Carlos Hyde, who was running wide open down the seam, and he wasn't able to haul it in. But, yeah, Jerick McKinnon's going to do a lot of stuff as a receiver both before and after the catch. And so that's going to be an exciting thing. And if Jerick McKinnon, I mean, 59 receptions for Carlos Hyde, I got to imagine the 49ers are going to target Jerick McKinnon more times than that. And you could turn, 88 targets, Carlos Hyde turned into 59 catches. I mean, you might see 100 targets for Jerick McKinnon as a receiver. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of folks are pretty excited about him, seeing him go in the second round of these PPR league fantasy football drafts, and that's for good reason. So Marquise Goodwin was the second leading receiver, 56 catches with 962 yards. Then it was George Kittle, had 43 receptions for 515 yards. Trent Taylor, 43 catches for 430 yards, which is exactly 10 yards per reception. So it's actually, you know, kind of forget that George Kittle actually outplayed, or at least as far as numbers are concerned, had a better receiving numbers than Trent Taylor did in 2017. Both guys as rookies, 12 yards per reception on the same number of catches, 43 catches for George Kittle compared to only 10 yards per reception for Trent Taylor, who obviously that's his game, getting loose with those quicks and catching slants and, you know, those double moves and things like that. So getting open and moving the sticks, and that's what Trent Taylor did. And I got to imagine he's going to be heavily targeted on third downs again in 2018. And then Pierre Garçon, who had a pretty good start to the season. He missed half the season. He only played 8 games and had 500 yards. So 40 receptions for 500 yards. He's on pace for 80 and 1,000 yards. But the thing is, he had 0 touchdowns. So that's a big thing that he's going to find the end zone this year. The 49ers were not great at putting points on the board. Even when Jimmy Garoppolo showed up, they had to settle for a few too many field goals. Even though they had a lot of yards per, if you go to LockedOn49ers.com, check out Chris Wilson's awesome article talking about yards per drive and points per drive. The 49ers, under Jimmy Garoppolo, for those 5 games, led the NFL in those statistics, and that was without putting the ball in the end zone as often as they could have. So the passing game could take a massive leap in 2018 under Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo, and a lot of the weapons the 49ers have. So who are those weapons now this year? Well, Pierre Garçon's coming back, and I think everyone expects him to be the number one receiver as he was last year for those first 8 games. And he was on pace for a 1,000-yard season, and I got to imagine it's going to be similar numbers for him. 80 catches, 1,000 yards, I think that's absolutely doable. More touchdowns, of course, than the 0 he put up last year. But I think those are the kind of target numbers Pierre Garçon is going to put up in this offense. And he's got a big contract, so that's the other thing looming. If he disappoints, or even if he plays just good, I don't know how long Pierre Garçon, he's already 33 years old, so he's not a young receiver. The 49ers did draft some guys. They have some young receivers on the roster. They could draft more guys next year. They could look at free agency. The Dez Bryant thing is still out there. I tend to not believe these rumors that Dez Bryant would actually come to the 49ers. I mean, I think he would actually absolutely be stoked to join the 49ers. I don't know if the 49ers are actually talking to his agents or anything and want to bring him in, unless there's an injury to, say, Pierre Garçon or something in the preseason or in training camp, and then that might make a lot more sense. But over $9 million in 2018 is what Pierre Garçon will get paid. Over $8 million in 2019, and then his cap number jumps after 2019 to $11.3 million in 2020, and he'll be 34 at that point. So, yeah, I guess he's only 30—he's going to the age 32 season this year. Sorry, Pierre, I didn't mean to put an extra year on you. So that 2020, the fourth year of his contract, where he's going to be $11.3 million in 2020, Pierre Garçon is not going to sniff that season. He's not going to, that year of the contract, he'll get cut before that happens. The question is for me, I mean, that's my opinion. I don't know. That's the way I believe, and just looking at how this contract breaks down. So 2018, he's here. The question is Pierre Garçon going to be around for 2019? So the 49ers have some development to do if they're going to move on from Pierre Garçon. And if things don't develop the way they want, they might have to look at wide receiver again next year before the draft. I think that things are going to look okay for the 49ers as it goes. But, you know, Pierre could still be back in 2019, too. That's the question. Will he play 2019? Because I don't think he's going to be on the 49ers roster, at least at that cap number in 2020. The number two wide receiver, as it was week one last year, will be Marquise Goodwin, another player the 49ers brought in 2017. And after one season, they liked what they saw. I liked what I saw. And I know you guys, I mean, Marquise Goodwin has won a ton of fans in his short time in San Francisco. And he got re-upped already after one season. And he's got a new contract. So he's going to be around. He had a three-year contract extension. So that'll keep him under contract through 2021. As long as he's got those wheels going, he's going to be that player for the 49ers unless someone comes up and takes his job. Trent Taylor, not the type of guy to take either one of those guys' jobs, but Trent Taylor is just such a perfect fit, and I love, just looking back at the draft last year and the Trent Taylor selection, he's 5'8", 180 pounds, and he ran like a 4.6 40. It's like, wow, this guy's not even going to get drafted. And when he got taken in the fifth round, I was like, wow, that's high for Trent Taylor, just looking at those triangle numbers, you know, and looking at his size. But Kyle Shanahan saw what the exact thing that he wanted to use Trent Taylor for and how he wanted to utilize him. And Trent Taylor was awesome in that regard. He's a tough receiver. He will do the dirty work over the middle. He's got crazy quicks. He's got good hands, good ball skills. Despite being small, he plays big and he goes and attacks the ball and he gets open and he separates. That's the number one thing Kyle Shanahan likes, is wide receivers who separate. And that definitely is Trent Taylor. So, he separates, and he's that slot guy. He was targeted on almost every third down by the end of the year, and so he's going to be that guy. If I'm an opposing defensive coordinator on third down, I'm making sure I know where Trent Taylor is and have a plan to try to stop him. Even though it's difficult coming out of the slot, he's got the two-way go. You don't know which way the jitterbug is going to go. The question I have with Trent Taylor isn't his skills or how he's going to be used. I think that's all obvious. My question is he going to get himself killed? Because it's that size. He's too tough. And he got knocked around a little bit last year. And I just worry he's going to have a short career or be dinged up all the time, kind of like how Wes Welker. And you see all those wide receivers for the Patriots, and it's a similar mold and a similar idea of how they're being used. Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, all those guys spend a lot of time hurt. And that's the only problem I see with Trent Taylor's, because he's working in the trees, man. He's getting hit by linebackers after he makes those catches over the middle, and getting hit by safeties. And he's too tough for his own good, almost, you know, and it's what you love about him, but it's what's going to get him hurt. And so I think he might spend a lot of time banged up, but luckily the 49ers have a lot of other wide receivers after him, and they've got some depth built up now, so guys that could come in and replace some of that production if someone like Trent Taylor gets hurt, or if someone like Marquise Goodwin even and Pierre Garçon get hurt. And who are those players? Well, number one is the player that the 49ers moved up in the draft to select, and that is Dante Pettis. He was a wide receiver out of Washington, 6'1", 195 pounds. He's got some okay size. He can separate. Again, that's what a Kyle Shanahan wide receiver has to do, is he's got those quicks and he can get open. He's got good ball skills. He can go up and get the ball. I like that about him. So the thing I like about Dante Pettis is if you put Marquise Goodwin and you put Trent Taylor together and then you pepper in a little bit of Pierre Garçon, Dante Pettis can do a lot of those things. He can get open down the field. He can make plays with ball skills and going up a little bit because he's got a little bit of length. He's not a huge wide receiver, but 6'1", he can get up and make a play on the ball in the air. And he's got the ability to get open underneath, and he's got the ability to run after the catch. And he's an awesome kick returner, which is where he's going to make an impact from week one, I have to imagine. So Dante Pettis could do a lot of things in a lot of different wide receiver spots. He could play the X, he could play the Z, he could play the slot. And so it just depends how I think they're going to have personnel groupings, and they're going to move him in and out. But I would imagine they want to try to use him mostly in the slot and at the Z position, where Marquise Goodwin plays. So I think he'll get some work in those two spots, but he can play behind Pierre Garçon too. But another guy who might be playing a little bit behind Pierre Garçon is the guy who is probably wide receiver number five here, if you're counting you know, these guys in order. I think Trent Taylor is in his own special group because he's the number one slot, and the other two guys are the number one outside guys, and then Dante Pettis could be the number two slot and number two outside guy. Kendrick Bourne is going to be, you know, maybe that number three outside guy that could jump in at one of those spots, probably most likely the X position. I think that's what he played most of the time in 2017. But again, he's the only other player on the 49ers roster. It's above 6 feet. He's 6 foot one, and he's got some ability. He doesn't have great blazing downfield speed, but he can get open a little bit. He can move. He had that crazy three cone. Trent Taylor and Kendrick Bourne had two of the best three cones for wide receivers in the 2017 draft. Even though Kendrick Bourne went undrafted, he didn't have wow numbers. He didn't have crazy production. He was the number two receiver in college behind Cooper Kupp, who went to the Rams in the third round. So he's a good receiver. I think people are getting maybe even a little bit too excited as far as 49ers fans go about Kendrick Bourne, just because I don't see a path to a ton of targets and a ton of playing time right now. And I think ideally the 49ers are going to try to add a superstar caliber wide receiver at some point, whether it's in the draft or free agency at some point after Pierre Garçon is gone, unless some of these guys actually step up and are able to be like, nah, we are studs and we are good at wide receivers. So that's kind of looming over guys like Kendrick Bourne's head and Richie James' head at the bottom of the roster. Is they still might add a sort of a number one prototype wide receiver at some point in the future, and that could damper some of these guys' value. But a lot of people are excited about Kendrick Bourne for good reason, and he's earned a spot. He's borderline, I don't want to say he's a lock to make the roster, but he's pretty darn close to a lock to make the roster at this point because of, you know, he's done everything he had to do to earn a job in the NFL, and he played pretty well down the stretch for the 49ers. So he's a depth piece right now, and he's someone that the 49ers aren't worried, you know, if they do run into some injuries, and you know they will, they can throw Kendrick Bourne in there and he can be productive for the 49ers. So that is where those are, you know, you sort of draw a line there after Kendrick Bourne, because now it's time to take the gloves off. And now there's a battle for what will likely be the very last wide receiver spot on the roster. And there's a chance that that's the end of the wide receiver group. I mean, that's what, five players already. I think they're going to take six. Maybe they take seven. But my guess, and if I'm penciling in a 53-man roster, I'll probably do that before they actually do make those cuts sometime in camp. But my guess is they're going to take six wide receivers. They're going to break camp with six wide receivers. And there's a number of guys here that have a chance to battle for that last spot if those top five are really set in stone and there's no injuries. The number one guy and the guy that I loved in the draft, and he was a shadow 49er, and I was super stoked when the 49ers drafted him, that is Richie James. He's a wide receiver out of Middle Tennessee State. And I talked about Trent Taylor's ability to be, you know, a smaller receiver and play big and be tough. Richie James has that same ability, and so I could see Richie James jumping in and the 49ers really not even missing a beat, sort of like how Trent Taylor jumped in to the slot position as a rookie. I could see Richie James doing that same thing if he was forced into action. He's got athleticism. He can get deep. He's got more deep speed than Trent Taylor does, but he's got quicks to get open. He's tough. He can make plays on the ball. He can go up and actually get the ball even better than Trent Taylor can. I saw him out fight. I mean, he's got fight in him. I saw him go up and get balls over safeties that were 6 foot two in college, and he was going up and winning jump balls over those guys. So I love the way he plays, his demeanor on the field. He's a tough guy. He plays with that, you know, chip on his shoulders is what a lot of pundits like to say. A lot of people calling games play-by-play guys, that's what they'll say about Richie James when they watch him play. That's why I like him, and he has the athleticism and just the all-around skills to go with it. So Richie James is a guy I'm excited for, and I would love to see him earn that sixth spot. I think he could do a little bit on special teams as well with that athleticism, and special teams might be the thing that really solidifies this spot too. You start talking about players who are buried on the depth chart and might not get onto the field much. They've got to be able to contribute on special teams. So Aaron Burbridge, that's his path to getting onto the field. And I don't think you can count Aaron Burbridge out. And I kind of did earlier this offseason. But he's worked in there, I think, with the second team in OTAs and maybe even getting some first team action in OTAs. And he's been very good as a gunner on special teams. So there was a lot of talk on the running back episode here, and we had some mailbag questions about, well, do you take the extra, if it comes down to it, do you take the one extra running back or you take the one extra wide receiver? And Aaron Burbridge could make the case where, oh, you take the extra wide receiver because he can play that special teams and he can be that gunner, and then you don't take Raheem Mostert at running back instead. So maybe it's a situation like that, and that's Aaron Burbridge's path to the roster. 6 foot tall, you know, he doesn't wow you anywhere across the board. He missed all of 2017 due to a hamstring injury, so that's why a lot of people, including myself, forgot about him. I wasn't enamored with Aaron Burbridge coming out of college. He was a seventh-round pick by the 49ers the year before. I liked Richie James as a seventh-round pick a whole lot more than Aaron Burbridge in the Trent Baalke era when he was drafted in 2016. Yeah, so Aaron Burbridge, he's there, and he definitely has an opportunity to win a roster spot. And I think the number one thing that's going to do it for him is toughness, his ability to, you know, he's been around the NFL a little bit. He's a veteran now. And then, you know, his special teams ability. Here's the one if they want to go with a veteran. And this is where it comes, if it comes down to, say, Richie James versus Aldrick Robinson, I think Richie James has a clear advantage because he's obviously the rookie. He's got cost control for 4 more years if he sticks on the roster. So he's a cheap option. And he has a lot of the skills that a young Aldrick Robinson had. Very similar height, weight, speed player. And you can tell that, you know, those types of guys are Kyle Shanahan's types. But if you look at Aldrick Robinson, well, he's got the advantage because he's the veteran. He knows Kyle Shanahan's offense. And, you know, he can jump in and play week one and at the drop of a hat and just jump in there and play. But he's never really been super productive, even on Kyle Shanahan's roster. And Kyle Shanahan definitely loves him, but he'll turn 30 in September. He's had a good career, Washington, Atlanta, now San Francisco. He definitely has an opportunity to lock down a roster spot. I just think this might be the time that Aldrick Robinson doesn't get it because there's too many young players that I think deserve a spot on the roster that they would lose if they tried to sneak him to the practice squad, and they deserve a chance to stick and develop. So I would be surprised if Aldrick Robinson makes the roster if everyone stays healthy. But now if there's an injury to one of the veterans, then that's where you have to say, okay, we need that veteran presence. We need that veteran receiver that knows what he's doing out there to break camp with. And then that's, I think, the opportunity that would help Aldrick Robinson make the roster straight out of camp and be on the field on week one. And there's some other names I think that have to be mentioned here when you're talking about wide receivers. One of those is Victor Bolden. Mostly did special teams work last year. He did not have a catch in his rookie season, but he did flash as a returner, kickoffs, and you know he looked good in the preseason, so that's where he won that job and able to play for the 49ers, but then was pretty much inactive after week six. And now he's got a 4-game suspension that was handed down by the NFL. And as Chris Wilson pointed out in his article at LockedOn49ers.com, there are kickoff rule changes happening. And so it might, you know, damper the value of someone who's only a kickoff returner, which is what Victor Bolden did. So when you put together him being buried, I mean, he didn't log a reception. So he's more of a special teams returner type. And there's already, you know, 2 or 3 returners that are better and higher than him on the depth chart right now on the 49ers roster. He's not a factor on the field on, you know, downs 1-2, 1-3, and then you have the PED suspension on top of it. I'd be very surprised if Victor Bolden was able to make the roster in 2018. And I don't believe he's eligible anymore because I think he was active for too many games to be on the practice squad. I could be wrong. You know what? No, I'm wrong there because they changed those rules. And I think as long as you're in your first 3 years, and I think the rules on the practice squad are super lax now, a lot more than they used to be. So I think Victor Bolden actually could probably go to the practice squad. But if that was the case, then he's got some competition there as well. One of the only bigger-bodied wide receivers the 49ers have on the roster right now is 6'3", undrafted rookie Stephen Dunbar, who is out of the University of Houston. By far the tallest wide receiver on the 49ers. Not a fast wide receiver by any means. He looked like he was stuck in the sand sometimes when I watched his tape after the 49ers signed him as an undrafted free agent. But you know, he can run routes a little bit. He can get open. He can make contested catches. He can go up and get the ball. Those are the things the 49ers liked about him. I think he's a long shot. I think he's a super long shot to make the roster. But I think what he can do is he can be the guy that sticks on the practice squad. And now you have a big body wide receiver to develop and you see what you got. Maybe he can, you know, pull off a Kendrick Bourne in 2018 and be someone who makes some waves as an undrafted rookie. The last player on the list here is Max McCaffrey. He is the son of Ed McCaffrey and the brother of Christian McCaffrey. And man, he's got a ton of athleticism for how little of an impact he made, you know, as a college player and as an NFL player. He's already bounced around on a couple of practice squads. He was with the Oakland Raiders. He was with the Green Bay Packers. And it's crazy for how much pedigree he has, and I'm sure how much training he's had from such a young age. I mean, he was born to be an NFL wide receiver with his body type and his athleticism and work ethic and, you know, everything he's learned in the McCaffrey family. His lack of production is almost like kind of mind-blowing to me for what he has to work with. But the fact that he hasn't stuck with anybody yet with the Raiders or the Packers, and, you know, he's kind of a camp body right now, but there's some, you know, there's some talent there. And so don't want to count him out completely. Don't want to count any of these guys out completely, but it's going to be an uphill battle for Max McCaffrey. I'd be quite surprised if he's somebody that makes the roster in 2018. But again, there's some practice squad competition there. So McCaffrey, Dunbar, Bolden, I think you might see one of those guys in the practice squad before it's all said and done, unless the 49ers find somebody on another roster and they steal somebody away to add to the practice squad or do some late additions in training camp. So that is the wide receiver position for 2018 heading into training camp, which is less than 2 weeks away. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you think about this wide receiver core. You guys, are you team Dez? Do you think the 49ers should go out and sign Dez Bryant? Do you want to wait and see if there's a camp injury before you go down that route? Or do you not want any part of that guy at all in the 49ers locker room? How do you feel about this wide receiver core? Because I think the 49ers themselves like this roster a lot better than what maybe the national media would think about this. You know, I think if the national media looked at the depth chart for the 49ers, there's a few position groups. I think the secondary is one, and I think the wide receiving group is another, where they would look at that and say, oh, who are these players? This is a bad group. They need to upgrade. So I think that's one of the, you know, one of the reasons that they're pushing this idea that Dez Bryant needs to go to the 49ers, because they just don't know who a lot of these guys are. I think in-house, the 49ers feel very good about their secondary and about their wide receiving group. And I think they like the young players that they're developing. And we'll see if it turns out that way. Let's see if these guys do develop and take that next step in 2018, which I think they can. And I think the number one reason they can is because they've got a great coach. They've got the quarterback in place. And that makes things a lot easier for a young player to come in and get great coaching and have a quarterback that knows what's going on. That's half the battle right there. So it should be fun to watch guys like, especially one of my favorites is Richie James. I'm going to be watching him all preseason long and probably overhyping him on Twitter. But Dante Pettis, too. They traded up in the second round to get him. He's a favorite, so they expect a lot out of Dante Pettis. So it's going to be fun. Can't wait to see how it all shakes out in camp. Hope these guys stay healthy. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show, and I'll talk to you guys Monday, breaking down another position group. Gonna have some guests coming up next week right here on Locked On 49ers.